Local with Monica Jay on 92.3 FM and 99.1 FM Talk. This segment is brought to you by HireMeNevada.com.
It's the Monica Jay Show on 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk Live and local FM Talk for all of Northern Nevada. I just want to share this with you this morning. Patriots are not revolutionaries trying to overthrow the government of the United States. Patriots are counter-revolutionaries trying to prevent the government from overthrowing the Constitution. Thomas Jefferson. That oath that all of these politicians take to protect the Constitution of the United States of America and to protect the Constitution of Nevada. And we're not seeing that. And that's why I hope you join me and so many others at the state capitol tomorrow here in Carson City. Or if you're in Las Vegas, this is a simultaneous rally, freedom rally. Take Nevada back. 9 to 4 tomorrow, Saturday. We're going to be out there as well. There are going to be representatives out there, assemblymen, state senators, activists, to take Nevada back. This is our time against a tyrant. I know that's a big word, and people don't think, oh, he's just a governor. He's an elected representative that, you know, we can oust him in another 2 years. And so what is the big deal? The big deal is when you have a shutdown, when you have destruction of an economy and you are going against sound science, because the left just loves to use that term just so much, sound science, and goes against the sound science that masks don't work, that the WHO even comes out and says, hey, these shutdowns, no, they don't work. They just make poor people poorer and eliminate the middle class. Because you are not being told the truth that so many of these thousands of jobs here in Nevada, the millions of jobs across the country, in some industries and some businesses, they are not coming back. They're putting the middle class out of business. And it is an agenda. And we have to make sure that we have people in elected positions that take that seriously. We don't need any more bills. We don't need any more taxes, any more fees. We need to start cleaning this place up. And whether it be the federal government, the state government, or the local government, we have to remind the elected representatives that we are the ones with the power. I'm just going to read a quick email that I received this morning, and I'm going to have a Miguel segment every week or something. 16 years old and smarter than a lot of people I know. Hi, Monica. I really hate how people think that the government and presidency have so much more power than we do as citizens. Yes, the president has access to the nuclear button and all of that, but the founding fathers wanted a strong lead to the nation. But the people have the power. The forefathers wanted average citizens to go to government if they wanted change, not tyrannical, corrupt career politicians. I love the freedom that America was founded on and plan on joining the military and fighting for them. But the way that the nation is going is not looking great, Miguel. Thank you so much for that email this morning, Miguel. You have to talk to your representatives. Because remember, that's what they are, representatives. Not elected officials. No one has official anything over you. They are elected. And I'm sorry I'm going on a tyrannical rage here before, because she's a lovely woman and she's, you know, very kind in different situations. But joining us right now is Marsha Birkbigler, who is running for re-election for the Washoe County Commissioner. Marsha, thank you so much for joining me today.
You bet. My pleasure. Nice to talk. How are you?
I'm doing fabulous. Marsha, is it hard being a politician?
Well, yeah, especially because I'm not really a politician, you know. I'm a citizen who decided I could do some good with all of my experience and background and put it to use to resolve some problems that I saw at the county. And so, you know, I'm not the type, I don't do this for a living. I don't have to do this for a living, fortunately. And I'm not the type to do it for politics. So I'm too honest to be a real politician. But yeah, it is difficult because it's, you know, people expect their government to do the right thing as per their idea of what the right thing is. And sometimes, and you know, we're Americans, we're accustomed to thinking the way we want to think, and that may not be the way you want to think or the way, you know, Joe Blow wants to think or Sally wants to think. And so the government can't answer all, it can't do all things. And that is a problem for trying to be an elected official. That really is a problem.
So I don't know if you were listening to the show earlier, but we had somebody who you're very familiar with, Tammy Holt Stilt, was on the show and mm-hmm. talking about the treatment center out in Lemon Valley. What is mm-hmm. the commission doing to fix these treatment centers that I know we hear about it through the city of Reno, we hear about it through the county, that these are serious issues that have come up with the effluent. And now we're finding out, or I'm hearing more about the pipeline up at Lake Tahoe that the taxpayers have been paying for, and nothing has been done with that over the years. Why do things like this not get immediate action?
Well, probably largely because of money. Situation in Lemon Valley is unique and interesting because it's old. And it was developed back before the treatment center was developed back before the laws became upgraded as they are today. And most of those homes were built back before that the laws changed and became what they are today. Today, you wouldn't be allowed to build in that area because it's clearly a dry lake bed. And this is Nevada. Dry lake beds don't stay dry. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, every 10 years or so, they get water in them. And so you wouldn't be able to build in that area today. But so what do? You tell the people who live there, sorry, but the rules have changed and now you have to tear your house down and move. You know, you can't do that. And the treatment center treats, that sewage treatment center treats all of those houses, those existing houses that are out there. It treats the sewage. So if you shut it down, then there are people who live out there who don't have sewer systems. They don't, I mean, they're connected to that. So they don't all have septic tanks. You can't tell people. And in fact, in this day and age, people can't do septic tanks within a certain distance of a urban area. So because septic tanks are only really allowed out when you're totally off the sewer grid. And, you know, so that's a problem. But I think the real question that you're asking is, why wasn't it upgraded all along? Why weren't the things done all along to upgrade it? And I think the answer to that is money. I think, you know, governments, I actually think I got this statement from you, but I have maintained forever that governments don't have money. People have money, and people pay the government to provide a service. If that service needs to be improved, then people have to pay more. And I think that is what happened over the ups and downs of the economy over, you know, the last 20 or 30 years since that system was built in. Now, we are upgrading. We just passed a bond to upgrade both the sewer system in the southern part of the valleys, and the sewer systems. We're looking at upgrading the sewer system up where the city of Reno has theirs up instead, up in Bedell Flats, up in that area, so that we can perhaps reconnect all those houses to a different sewer system. So hopefully in time, but we're talking millions, hundreds of millions of dollars to do that.
Should people be forced, though, to give up to their septic tanks if those upgrades aren't in place? And is that going to be
not in place?
Is that going to be ultimately the resolution for the North Valleys? Is maybe a special assessment district to get a bigger treatment plant out there?
That might be one of the solutions. That's certainly one of the solutions that's been floated to say, perhaps we need to bring in a Class A, develop and build up in the Bedell Flats area or somewhere up in that area, a Class A treatment center so that all of those services can be connected together. Now, will that mean that if you are already, if you're on a septic tank out there, you're going to have to go to the pipe system? I don't know the answer to that. I don't think that's been discussed. It certainly hasn't been discussed before the commission for any length of time. So I don't really think that's where this is headed right now. Certainly it's not a discussion that's been before the commission. So that's not where it's headed now. But I think, you know, growth happens, and all the growth can't be inside the footprint of the McCarran Loop. It just can't. I mean, a lot of people like to live out in the country, but unless we want to look like downtown Sacramento with high rises and that's where everybody lives, there's a point at which you can't do infill building inside of the McCarran Loop. So that means you're going to have to spread out. And so as growth happens, economy of scale also happens, and a need to improve the services that are provided. And that means not septic tanks. That means connecting to the sewer system and connecting to the water system rather than having wells and sewer systems. So, you know, you got to kind of look through the magic looking glass and see where you're going to be in any given place. So maybe that will be the future.
When the county is working on budgets and looking to how they want to spend in the future, where is it as a priority for the sewer systems and the treatment plants? Because so many things that I think that people see get approved, or what cautionary fund or discretionary funds are being spent on, they look at their specific community and they think, why do you keep spending money on these other things when you should be spending it on us?
And, you know, and I absolutely think that's a fair assessment of the perception that's out there. But remember that the county isn't just responsible for existing structures and existing sewer systems and whatever. They're responsible for expansion. And they're responsible for homeless, and they're responsible for making sure the river is cleaned, because much of our water comes from there, and we need to make sure that that water going in to our treatment plants is a higher grade than it's been in the last few years. And we're responsible for some road work. We're responsible for the jail, for the courts, for the, you know, the health district. The list is long, as you know. That's really what regional governments are responsible for. So it's easy to say, well, I don't want you to spend money on extra policemen. I want you to spend it on upgrading my sewer system. I seem to recall the last time I talked to staff about upgrading the system out in the Lemon Valley and that area, what that would take. And the number was something like $200 million. So where is that going to come from? We certainly don't have that in our budget. And so when we look at budgets, we look at those things that we have to do first. That's the largest percentage, of course, goes to employees. And we run a very tight ship. We are not overstaffed in any area. In fact, there are some who would say we're way understaffed in many areas. And so, you know, we have to look at all the factors that are necessary in everything we have to do. No question that at some point in the not too distant future, as the North Valleys continue to grow, that overall sewer issue is going to have to be addressed. And so I know that staff is working on it and looking at it. We have some really super top-notch staff people who know more about dams and sewers and, you know, how, and sewer plants and how those things operate. And so they are working on it, but we still have the issue of where's the money going to come from. So, Marcia, we're supposed to be
talking about your reelection campaign, and I'm just throwing issues at you. Will you hang on the line and come back with me after this quick break?
Sure.
Thank you so much. All right. We'll be back right after this with Washoe County Commissioner Marcia Birch-Bigler on 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk.
Get more Monica in your life. Go to 99.1fmtalk.com. Click on the podcast tab.
Oh, we had a lot of things going on at 991fmtalk.com. You can also answer the poll question there. So I'm going to send you on over there for our poll. And that is, I hate to bring it up, but do you think that there's going to be riots and all kinds of chaos if either political party candidate does not have a clear, decisive win? Today's poll question brought to you by Nissan of Carson City, and we appreciate them so much for that. Should Supreme Court Justice John Roberts be impeached? Yesterday's question, 79% of those participating in the poll said yes. On the line with us still at the talk and text line, 884-9910, is Washoe County Commissioner Marcia Birch-Bigler running for re-election. And Marcia, I want to ask, first off, how can people find out more about you and what agenda you're running on? Do you have a website or anything?
I do. MarciaForCommission.com.
Is that the number or spelling out?
It's the number for Marcia for Commission.
Okay.
And so what would you can find me there. I also have a Facebook page where there's a lot of information too.
What would you like to see? We've only got about 2 minutes here, but what would you like to see the next big step of the commission take? What project would you like to see taken on and actually completed?
I would like to see this region become have a regional dispatch. A regional dispatch would reduce the time that it takes safety, security, an ambulance, a fire truck, a policeman to get to a call, a 911 call. And it has the major potential to reduce costs. And what has to happen is all of the entities have to get together. And those entities are the fire entities and the police and the sheriff and RIMSA. They all have to get together and decide to do it. It's very simple. It's done in Clark County. If Clark County can do it with their five political entities, plus all the other safety and security issues that they have down there, we can do it up here. And we need to do it. That's my goal.
For the best of the community, not what is
absolutely,
you know, easy for those organizations. It is what's best for the community.
It's going to save lives. It's going to save lives because it's going to get the closest vehicle to the accident, to the injury, to the heart attack, to the stroke first.
So since I've had you on, I can't even tell you the amount of emails I've gotten and texts. My phone is blowing up. One of the quick questions that somebody has is, and getting this right, talking about controlling growth, that the Minden-Gardnerville area, we're having some of the same issues that we were with the effluent and, you know, the pipelines and with the sewer systems and with the treatment centers, and they controlled growth and they were able to work through their issues. We have these big pushes for growth in the area, but do we need to slow down?
Well, you know, that's a question that you get to ask a lot of different entities. Right now, we have business still coming to Reno, to the greater Reno area to put down footprints. They're bringing in people. They need housing. So do we need to continue to develop? Yes. But do we need to develop in a logical manner? Yes, we do. Part of the problem is it's not county. Much of the development, most of the development is going on within the footprint of the city of Reno, not the county. And we can't control what the city of Reno does. So it's not the county who gets to say, you can't do that. It's the city council.
Are we, when it's in the county footprint, are we putting enough on contractors to make up the difference, or are they just being given, you know, are they being worked with too easily?
I don't think so. I think we work pretty hard to make sure that they need to do things. And a lot of people will say the infrastructure isn't there, so you shouldn't build there. Well, the infrastructure never gets there until the developer comes in. And then the developer has to connect to the existing infrastructure or build to the infrastructure. So that's the responsibility of the developer. So if you're going to build, like, say, out in Red Rock, Red Rock is in the footprint of the county, but it, for the most part, there's a little bit that's in the city, but most of it's in the county. But there's not infrastructure there. But if somebody wants to build development, to do development out there, they have to figure out how to build, and they have to pay the cost. And so they can recoup the cost by driving up the cost of their houses or driving up the cost of their buildings, their warehouses, or whatever it is they're going to build. They can recoup the cost, but they still have to pay for it. It is not on the back of the existing taxpayers.
All right. So Marcia Burke Bigler
already exists.
Thank you so much for joining us today. Good luck in your reelection campaign.
Thank you.
I know you're on my ballot, and you got a big check mark next to it. So I appreciate what you do. I appreciate you being on with us today, and just thanks for coming out. Like you said, you don't have to do this, but you want to do it to be a part of the community.
Thank you for what you do. I love the fact that people like you get up and tell everybody what they think and try to help people understand things. And so thank you for what you do.
Thank you, Marcia. I appreciate your time today. Have a great day. Hey, guess what's going on tonight? A big debate. We're going to get somebody from the Trump campaign on and see if our president is ready to take on, what was that guy's name? I can't remember. He's never seems to be out and about. Oh, that's right. Hyden Biden. We'll be back after this Fox News update on 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk.
This is where Nevada comes to hear and talk about the news in Nevada. 99.1 FM Talk, KKFT.
It's the Monica Jay Show on 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk. Thanks for being here today, 10 to noon every weekday, trying to bring you what matters most. And of course, in Northern Nevada, that's growth, voting, neighbors. And I hate to bring this up, but what's going to happen after the election? What's going to happen on November 4th? Do you think that there will be riots and looting if either political party candidate does not have a clear and decisive win? Yes or no? Well, even if Trump does have a clear and decisive win, the left says they've put the information out there. And not just Antifa, not just BLM. People who are actually working with the Democrat Party itself, DNC. People getting letters in the mail that if they are shown as conservative, they're going to be taken down. That's not the America I live in. Don't be afraid, but answer today's poll question. Do you think that'll happen? Yes or no? Unfortunately, 95% of those participating in the poll right now think, yeah, the left is going to go on a tear after the election. Because we know who's going to win. There is no doubt in my mind. You look at the enthusiasm behind Trump compared to the enthusiasm behind Biden, and there is none. You look at accused criminal conduct at our president, and there is none. You look at accused criminal conduct at former VP Joe Biden and family members, and there is. There's documented proof. There's phone calls. There's pictures. And yet he still is on the ballot. Unbelievable. So, what happens to this country? We're at that precipice right here. We know the socialism has been creeping in and creeping in the education system, in the election system, in everything that we do for over 100 years. So here's the problem. For this next 4 years, I'm pretty confident that, well, the president is going to be attacked, but he'll get through it. He'll handle it with grace and snappy comebacks and name-calling, just like he has for the last 4 years, that is going to entertain the hell out of us. But what happens in 2024? We need to start finding the right people, the people who are going to lead this country further away from Marxism, further away from communism, fixing our education system, fixing the economy, fixing the financial situation, because there is a big disparity. Disparity between those who have and the middle class. And that middle class, us, is shrinking. All we look at is debt. And that's how the central banks have us. That's how the whole system has us. It's very frustrating. So this is where we need to do our due diligence. This is where we need to, for the next governor, for the next mayor, for the next senator, for the next assembly person, who are the people in the future that are going to lead us and protect the Nevada Constitution and the United States Constitution? Who is going to take that oath seriously to protect we the people? The career politicians? It's a tough call. People get in there and I tell you, you go in, it seems like, with the best intentions, and yet once you drink the Kool-Aid, I guess, once you get a taste of the power, it's very frustrating. And that's why I tell people, don't listen to what people are saying when you're choosing a candidate, especially for the primaries. We're pretty much in a locked position right now. Okay? Doesn't matter if I like people or not, if I like the way they treat people or not. I'm voting Republican. I'm voting down the party line. And I'll be honest and tell you that I haven't always done that. But in this election, local and national, I am 100%. And we're going to see it in all of its glory tonight. The last debate between our president, Donald J. Trump, and Hayden Biden. We know how our president has been voting. And we know what Joe Biden has done in the past. So joining us right now, senior advisor to the Trump campaign, it's Steve Cortez. Steve, thank you so much for joining me on the show today.
Hey, good afternoon. Thanks for having me.
So, Steve, fighting COVID-19, American families, race in America, climate change, national security, and leadership. Those are the topics for tonight's debate. The one that I don't see here is family corruption and being paid off.
Yep. I call it the Biden cartel because I think that's an apt way to describe what they have done over the years. They have been selling influence all over the world, but most damningly to the existential enemies of the United States, including Russia and China. And this China news, this absolute bombshell news that we got out of the New York Post today, it's the biggest story by far of the entire campaign. Corporate media wants to ignore it. Big tech is suppressing it. But the story's going to get out. It's going to get out on that stage tonight because even if Kristen Welker doesn't do her job as a moderator, and she probably won't, Donald Trump is going to prosecute the case against Joe Biden because not only was he selling influence, and not only was he personally benefiting, but again, he was doing it with the Chinese Communist Party, which is the most dangerous adversary to the United States in the world. It is the gravest threat to our national and economic prosperity, our national security and economic prosperity in the entire world. Joe Biden was literally selling us out to the CCP, to communists on the sly, and it is now all seeing the light of day. And now we have a totally credible firsthand whistleblower, an eyewitness, Tony Bobulinski, somebody who was part of the deal, someone who's a Navy veteran. He's a Democrat. He doesn't appear to have any political axe to grind here, but he came forward as a patriot and a truth teller. He corroborates what other unnamed sources had already told us, which is that the quote big guy in this smoking gun email is none other than Joe Biden. He was on the take with enemies of the United States. He is totally unfit to be the commander in chief of the greatest republic in history.
We have hours to go yet. Are we going to see a debate tonight?
You know, that's interesting. I wonder about that. I'm shocked that he hadn't already canceled. So it's still possible. Anything's possible from Team Biden. But it appears I'm at campaign headquarters in Arlington, Virginia, the Trump campaign headquarters. So I'm not on the ground there. But I, of course, in close contact with our team. And the entire Biden team is there. So it appears that he's showing up tonight. I don't think he's remotely prepared, though, for the way the president is going to prosecute this case. You know, the facts are completely on our side. And the president is going to do this, by the way, not just because it's going to help his candidacy, which it will in our campaign. He has an obligation as the commander in chief to protect the American people. We cannot have a commander in chief who is compromised by foreign enemies of the United States. And by the way, this is just what we know. Think about what we don't know. I mean, how much more there could be. You know, there's never one cockroach, as the old phrase goes. But regardless, what is known is so damning. Like, think about this. Joe Biden, for certain, with what we already know, he could not get a security clearance to work in a low-level position in a national security or defense-related organization of the United States government. I mean, he couldn't work in the cafeteria of the Pentagon or the CIA. There's no way he wouldn't get clearance. So the idea that he could be commander-in-chief, to me, is just a non-starter. You know, I think it's very likely he committed crimes here. And at the least, it's an incredible betrayal of the United States. He used his public position to trade it for private gain. And it's really, frankly, pretty reprehensible.
Well, I'm not impressed with the moderator tonight, CBS News, Kristen Welker. I mean, it has come forward that she gave then candidate Hillary Clinton, you know, debate questions, and she's the one who decides the questions. Will President Trump bring this up? And with the possibility, do you think that they will try to mute his mic since they have that capability now?
You know, I sure hope not, although unfortunately this debate commission has revealed itself as just a total fraud. It is a corrupt and complicit swamp cabal that represents the worst kind of D.C. cronyism, because it pretends to be, quote, bipartisan. And yes, there are people on the commission, commissioners who have an R after their name, but all of them detest the America First movement. They can't stand the president. And that's not my opinion. That's based on their own public writings and pronouncements. So they have tried at every turn to protect their preferred candidate, Joe Biden, and perhaps most brazenly so by the selection of moderators. The entire slate of them are a bunch of frauds, and in the case of Scully, an outright liar, somebody who had to be fired for his shameful activity. So Kristen Welker, unfortunately, is no journalist. It's very doubtful that she's going to try to be any kind of legitimate referee or moderator. I expect her, unfortunately, like Chris Wallace did, I expect her to insert herself into the process to try to protect Biden. But look, he cannot, he will be physically on stage with Donald Trump. He cannot escape these questions. This is the biggest story of the campaign. It is the elephant in the room that cannot be ignored. And by the way, I think the lengths to which corporate media is going to try to ignore the story, and the lengths to which big tech is going to use technology to suppress the story, those actions are actually proof positive of just how volatile and dynamite this story is, literally. I mean, how explosive these revelations are. They wouldn't be taking these kinds of open actions if they didn't believe that this has the power and the potency to derail Joe Biden's chances. And look, I liked our momentum anyway, mainly because of the economy in this country. I liked it in Nevada because of how well we're doing among Hispanics. So I liked our momentum even before this revelation today. But with this added boost now, unless Joe Biden can somehow, some way explain this, and I don't see any logical way he can, I really believe the momentum is going to flip our way into these remaining days.
Well, that's why they had to put a lid on it, you know, for the last 4 days so they could come up with some answers. But on a side note, away from the debate, do you think that the Lincoln Project is going to have any detrimental effect with these prominent Republicans coming out against Trump? Or do you think it's just a light being shown on the Republicans that we've seen in the past that maybe be one of those cockroaches that are scurrying because right. The light's being turned on?
I think it certainly could well be the latter. No, look, I don't think they've had any real effect. And by the way, they've really just abused their donors. And you know, I'm not going to shed any tears for their donors because they're mostly Trump-hating folks. But regardless, these donors gave money to what they thought was a legitimate political project, and it is not. And the reason I say that is for two reasons. Number one, they're paying themselves massively. So all the people who are running the Lincoln Project, the so-called Lincoln Project, it shouldn't be named after our amazing emancipator
exactly.
president.
Exactly.
But all the people who are running this sham project are paying themselves massive amounts of money. Unfortunately, it is legal, but it's really scummy. But number two, they're wasting the money. Besides overpaying themselves, they're spending a ton of it, for example, and I'm talking from campaign headquarters in Arlington, Virginia. They're spending a lot of it here in the D.C. TV market. Now, this is the most solidly Democratic market, TV market, perhaps in the entire country. They don't need to change anybody's minds. They will have zero bearing on the election. We know Virginia, Washington, D.C., and Maryland are all going for Joe Biden. So why are they spending this money? It's because they're trying to make a show. They're trying to make a splash. They want to bother the president because he's watching Washington, D.C. television. They want to impress their friends here in the swamp because they watch Washington, D.C. television. It's a canard. It's a complete waste of time. And I think it only, by the way, validates the America First movement. Look, we ran in 2016 not just against the Democrats. We ran against a lot of entrenched Republican establishment figures and interests that were detrimental to the American worker. So let's face it, the failures of Washington were bipartisan in many ways. And so this is a legacy issue. We are still draining the swamp. We, you know, after decades of filling the swamp up, we couldn't expect that we could drain it quickly. And so it takes another term. I think, in fact, the so-called Lincoln Project makes a good case for why we need another Trump term, because we have not yet been able to completely clean house.
That's right. Now it's time to hose it down and get it, you know, get the things hanging on the side down the drain. Steve right. Cortez, senior advisor to the Trump campaign, joining us today. Thank you so much. And it's going to be a great show tonight for the debate. We'll be back right after this.
There is no need for you to speak unless I ask you a question.
FM Talk Radio 99.1 KKFT.
Well, and actually, I don't even get to ask you a question now because it's time to wrap it up. It's the Monica Jay Show. Thank you so much for joining me today, 10 to noon every weekday. And as you just heard Steve Cortez, you know, say there about the whistleblower, the corroboration. Jim Jordan. It's all real. The emails are authentic. The corruption is real. And there's no way that we can let Kamala Harris, I mean, Joe Biden, into the White House. Because that's why Nancy Pelosi is looking at the 25th Amendment. If they can just get him in there by any means possible, and that includes cheating, then Kamala Harris will be the president. We can't let that happen. Get out and vote. Whatever county you live in, some people have taken up to 4 hours to get in. Some people have gotten in and out in 10 minutes. Just do it. And don't do it by mail-in. Do it in person. It's safe. And make plans to join me on Saturday, along with Take Nevada Back, Carson City, 9 to 4, whatever time you can share with us. We're going to have lots of great prizes, and we're going to have those t-shirts for sale, too. Hope I see you there. Love you. Bye.